Monster Man, Episode 200 Special. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. Today's episode is a special episode. This is the 200th episode of Monster Man. And by 200th episode, I only mean 200th regular numbered episode. There have also been 40-some-odd episodes of Patron Deities, plus goodness knows how many special episodes brought to you by the generosity of my Patreon backers. So it's actually way over 250, but whatever. This is the one with 200 on the front, and that's what matters. Can you believe it? I know I said this before, possibly in the 100th episode special, but this all came from a dream I had, or maybe not a dream, but I woke up one morning and I thought to myself, I should do a podcast in which I read my way through the Monster Manual, and it will be called Monster Man. It was inspired by a now sadly defunct podcast that was going through every issue of The Amazing Spider-Man, which had the excellent title of The Amazing Amazing Spider-Man Man. Sadly, that one did not last, but the idea of the mini pod covering a little nugget of enjoyable information really appealed to me in terms of how accessible it would be and how easy it would be to do. It was a good few episodes before I started up the Patreon, but that has really made it possible to devote more time and effort to creating this podcast. And going over the patron list, I've discovered that I'm pretty sure there are people who, for some reason or another, I have not received the notification that they're following me. And I know that I promised all of my supporters a shout out on the show. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to real quick read my way through the list of Patreon supporters so that I can thank you all individually. Before I do that, though, I want to thank two patrons in particular, because these are new patrons who have just pledged in the last week. So thank you very much, Funes the Uxorious and Greggy. And as always, if you'd like to be a patron like these people, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/monsterman and pledge at the level of your choosing. So yeah, over the last year and more, I have had occasion to be greatly thankful for the generosity of Dave Noonan, Robert Gordon, Gerald Kayla, David Fiore, Mari White, William, Neil McClellan, Luke Slater, John Hancock, Jason Connolly, the aforementioned Greggy, Andy Action, Andrew Sedlowski, Mark Stone, Edwin King, Stan Rudzeski, Bob Faulkner, Ted Prodromou, Evan Hughes, Katie Shreves, Jason Walter, Glenn Robinson, the aforementioned Funes the Uxorious, Paula Long, Dan Connolly, Chris Kay, Jesse Ross, the Armchair Adventurers, John Johnston, Carl Clare, Greg Lensing, Daniel Lofton, Brian Orban, Brendan, Jeffrey Jones, Christopher Smith, Chris Hyde, Rafe Ball, Tim Edwards, Tapestry of Ages Games, Almas, Tom McGrenery, Rick Knott, Jack Ackerman, Hans Anderson, Albert Anderson, Chris at the Study, Eric Talvola, Eric, I'm sorry if that's not how you pronounce your name, Peter Bensley, Sam Thompson, Paul Watson, Alan Hughes, Reuben Little, Bilbo Baggins, Robin Fahey, David Azzaghetti, James Bailey, Richard August, Adam Buxton, Fran Bleach, Stephen Fleetwood, Alexander, Grass Dragon, Corbett, Sebastian Wakely, Ben, Elias Helfer, Scott Tooker, Roger Duthie, Steve, Thomas Powell, Nibble, Justin Woodman, Ross Howard, Brian Unduto, Chris McGurr, Justin Couch, Goblin's Henchman, Simon Coward, and Tim Deegan. Thank you all very much for your continued support of Monster Man. It means a lot to me, not even so much that you send me money, although please do continue to send me money, but that you are enjoying the show so much that you chose to demonstrate your appreciation of it. That really means a lot to me, so thank you very much. And there are lots of people who have helped out the show in other ways, not just financially, although in fact many of them are also Patreon supporters. Jason Walter was invaluable with technical help early on. Lots of people have helped me with pronunciation. Tom McGrenery really helped out for the Chinese section of Patron Deities, and of course my wife Allison, who's made several guest appearances on the show. So what's next? Well, we're a good chunk of the way through Monster Manual 2, although I don't think we're close to being done with it, and we're still only on F, although we're further through the book than that would lead you to expect. We're going to finish up Monster Manual 2, then I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do. Basically, I think we can break either, we can go forward or sideways. So if we go forward, that'll probably mean doing the second edition Monstrous Manual, which I do also have a copy of. I'm not sure about that one. I would have to do it only partly, because so much of the content is basically just the same. You know, we'd only be looking at the ways in which these creatures were different from their first ed counterparts. And then, of course, there's some new creatures in there as well. So we might do that. Another alternative would be to do the Creature Compendium, which is basically the same, but for D&D without the advanced. And again, I think same difference. Like, I don't know how different those texts would be. I have them both, so I can compare them, take a look at them. I really want to continue doing special episodes. I think the requests have been a lot of fun. I'd love to do more of the My Favorite Monster specials. They just present like a big challenge from a logistical and technical standpoint. I actually did record another one with the artist and miniature sculptor Jason Fairclough, but unfortunately the audio quality just was not good enough. We had some trouble with the call itself, and that was a bit demoralizing, but I would love to feature more RPG creators on the show. I don't know if My Favorite Monster is something that you, the listeners, would like me to bring back, but I think that it could be a fun way of, you know, taking a look at how different creators view monsters and how they use them in the games that they design. And we could talk to all kinds of people. If you have someone that you'd like to be on the show, I'd love to hear about it. It's merely an administrative question in terms of like how to get it going. Patron deities will absolutely continue. There's several more pantheons in the Deities and Demigods book for me to do. I'm not sure what we'll do afterward, because there isn't another book of deities. At one point, I thought about doing dungeons, but I'm a little concerned that that might be treading on the territory of other shows that already exist. I mean, it's kind of like that's sort of not dungeons specifically, they do scenarios, but, you know, Fear of a Black Dragon already do that so well. I don't know what I could contribute, and I don't know that it lends itself to the shorter format. For a while, I was thinking about doing magic items. I think that could be fun. That was a little too close to another podcast, Tom and Drew's Magic Item Review, but they haven't put out a new episode in ages, so I reckon I might be on firmer ground there. So I think maybe, and this, we're talking about, you know, in a year or something, I think the place that I go might be magic items after the deities one. We could talk about magic items in history and myth as well. Frankly, this, as strange as it may sound, this relates to some things that I'm doing, like, in my actual job. But yeah, so that's kind of where I'm thinking the future of the Monster Man podcast is going to lie. That is to say, it's pretty much going to keep on going the way that it's been going. I'm happy with the frequency. I'm happy with the podcast sort of as it is, but there are some more kind of bells and whistles that I'd love to add if it were a little easier in terms of time and in terms of technology. So that may be possible in future. Watch this space. So yeah, anyway, that's just kind of the state of the podcast address. All you got to do is keep listening. Although if you feel like leaving a review or a rating on your podcasting app or website of choice, that would be splendid. That really helps new listeners find the show. But enough about that. Let's talk about a monster. I wanted to do something a little bit different for today's monster, so I've chosen one of the very few monsters that is original to 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons. As you know, 5th edition has many, many monsters that originally appeared in other editions of D&D. I'm no surprise there. You know, the classics are well established, right? Many of the monsters that we see in the monster manuals are actually older, having, you know, appeared in pre-AD&D or in modules. It's not a knock on 5th, it's just, you know, as the latest, it's got the largest body of existing monsters to draw from. But Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes does include a good number of original monsters, and one of those is the Cadaver Collector. And I like the Cadaver Collector a lot. It's basically a big other-dimensional construct, so basically a sort of robot, that lumbers around battlefields or other places that there might be a lot of dead folk, collecting corpses and pinning them on the spikes and lances and pointy bits that jut out of its armored hide. So by the time it's done with its task, it basically looks like a walking mound of corpses. I sort of think of it as like, you know, the spike that people would put bills on, or like the order sheet, you know, in like a diner. They put it on that big spike. I always think of it as being a little bit like that. That's a spindle, by the way. That's what they're referring to when they say, do not fold, spindle, or mutilate. Anyway, so it basically, you know, puts them on these big skewers and carries them around. And if it's threatened, it can summon their ghosts back as specters to defend it, although it is also perfectly capable of fighting if it has to. But so the idea is that these are brought from Acheron, which is where they normally dwell, to clean up battlefields, presumably by the kinds of evil warlords who've got some nefarious purpose at hand that they want to do with all of these corpses. But I think that one of the reasons they're so great is that they imply a particular scene. They imply a particular thing, right? That to go to a battlefield and see these ghastly, clanking, grisly meat pile robots stomping around the battlefield, taking, you know, what were once living humans and impaling them on these pikes, is just a really hideous image. And, you know, it says something about the machineries of war in a way that I don't think any other D&D monster really does. Its vision of this grisly mechanized battlefield, you know, is a horrible one. It also sort of suggests a scenario, which is in itself somewhat grisly, where you have the player characters like, you must go and retrieve the blue jewel. It's, you know, mounted in a ring worn by Captain so-and-so. She's off leading her regiment to war right now, but, you know, if you hurry, I bet you can catch up with her. And then you get to the battlefield, and you're like, oh, she's been scavenged up by the victorious other army. And, you know, they don't know that the blue jewel is the key to finally defeating their dark overlord, so they've just popped her on a spike on the back of one of these things, and they're going to go dump her in the sacrifice pit, and then the blue jewel will be lost forever, and that'll be, you know, the resistance will be kaput, so we need to go and retrieve it. You know, there's a battlefield right there. And again, you could also have other things that would, like, be out scavenging a battlefield, or you can imagine that sort of ghouls would come creeping out of their burrows to grab all the tasty dead meat. And of course, you might very well still have, like, bandits looting the dead. You might have patrols of the victorious army going around looking for survivors on both sides. You could even have a sympathetic character from the bad guy army who's just trying to find and treat their own wounded. It's fascinating because it's a monster that by itself suggests a departure from the traditional dungeon setting, right? It actually works best if you're not in a dungeon and instead you're on, you know, a battlefield in the aftermath of a battle, which is not something that you see a lot of in D&D. And that's why I think, you know, the Cadaver Collector is so successful. And I think one of the most popular monsters from Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes, partly because it's got this striking visual design and partly because it implies a bunch of stuff in terms of an encounter and beyond that, a scenario. I think this returns to a trend that we've seen before where creatures that have this strong, like, mechanical element tend to turn up in more recent D&D, that D&D settings continue to have historical inspirations, but not necessarily solely medieval ones. And this kind of, like, large-scale battlefield scavenging machine brings to mind a modern battlefield, brings to mind, you know, something like World War I or the American Civil War, these kinds of, you know, large-scale engagements that left thousands upon thousands of bodies on the field. And the idea of a machine gobbling them up definitely brings to mind the specter of mechanized modern warfare, even if it's a magical machine. So yeah, I like the Cadaver Collector. I think it's got all the things that make a classic D&D monster, right? In that it has a good appearance, it has applicability to a number of different situations, sort of, and it has, it implies a bunch of other activities merely by its existence. So that's about all the time that we have for today. Once again, thank you to everyone who listens to and supports the show. I really appreciate the fact that you choose to spend some part of your day listening to me talk about monsters, which, on the face of it, it's kind of a weird thing to do. It's not something that I would have expected, but it's immensely gratifying. In our next episode, we're going to be returning to our regularly scheduled trip through the F chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.